This is the Pittsburgh section of National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2. I'm Shirley Stolzer, and this is Marcy Schwartz with me, and we are in the office of Judge Lawrence Kaplan, and today is January 4, 1999. Judge Kaplan, would you just tell us your name and address?
Okay. I am Lawrence W. Kaplan, otherwise known as Larry. And my home address is 6564 Lyndhurst Green in the Point Breeze section of Pittsburgh.
Good. Thank you.
It's perfect, but it works.
Judge Kaplan, I'm going to start out by asking you if you would tell us a little bit about your family of origin, your parents, whatever siblings
right.
you had, and where you came from.
I was born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, on August the 21st of 1928, a little over 70 years ago. My father was Edward Kaplan. He was a dentist, practicing dentist in Uniontown. And his family, he was born and grew up in McKeesport. And he was one of six children in McKeesport, and his parents, in turn, came from Eastern Europe. I plan on doing a little research to determine where that all transpired. His father's name was David, and actually, from what I understand, his name was not really Kaplan. It was Arotsky. And he came to this country. He was a watchmaker, and he ended up in McKeesport. And as was customary with a lot of the immigrant families, he lived with another family, which happened to be the Kaplan family. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I think it's Arotsky. A lot of people don't know this, so I'm really telling you. It is interesting. But since he lived with the Kaplan family in McKeesport, I guess he eventually, whether you fell in love in those days or not, I'm not sure, but he eventually married one of the daughters, Helen Kaplan. And so I come by the name appropriately, probably more in the Spanish sense of the word, where you took your mother's name. A lot of the Kaplans originated in McKeesport, and as you do your history, I think you'll come across others. These are the Kaplans with a K. My mother, on the other hand, was born and grew up in Washington, Pennsylvania. So I'm a real Western Pennsylvanian.
Yes.
Her mother and father, her name was Libby Wilner. W-I-L-N-E-R. And that's another name you're going to come across in the course of your studies. And her father, Jacob Wilner, definitely came from Russia. He came over at a very young age. I think he came to this country when he was five. And family came to Baltimore. And from Baltimore, they eventually moved out this way. And he ran a menswear working man's store, retail, in Washington, Pennsylvania, in Washington, Pennsylvania. His wife was Rebecca Siegel. That was her maiden name. And so my grandmother, Becky, came here at a little older age, and she still had an accent.
Was she a maternal grandmother?
This is the maternal grandmother. Exactly. And she was one of three children, all of whom were born in Washington. She was the oldest of three sisters. She having been born in, I would say it was around 1906. She's deceased now. She had two sisters. Each one was a year younger, and then the other was 2 years younger. They were like born 3 years apart, all three of them. And the second sister's name was Bessie, and she ended up marrying Ben Richmond, who was a native of Washington, Pennsylvania, and their son Steve, they had two sons, Steve and John, and Steve still, they both live in Washington. Steve is somewhat involved here. He's on the board of the Jewish Family and Children's Service here in Pittsburgh. So he's a cousin of mine, first cousin, practicing lawyer, Stephen Richmond. He practices law in Washington, and as I say, he's so that's a family that's been there for a long time. That would be an interesting family to interview sometime. The Richmond family. And then the third sister was Sally, and she's still living, if you can call it that. She's 89. She is or 88. She's in a nursing home in Washington, Pennsylvania. And we try to get up to see her on a regular basis. But she's a widow and no children. So there aren't too many descendants. But at that time in Washington, Pennsylvania, I remember my aunt when we attended my mother's funeral, and we were riding in the car together, telling me at one time there were 17 first cousins, all derived from the Sigel side of the family in Washington, Pennsylvania. So they really had a close, tight family at that time, there aren't too many of those cousins left either. Aside from my aunt, there's Sherman Sigel, who is past president of the Washington County Bar Association, and he's with us, and there are a couple of other cousins, but not too many. Most of them have passed away. But for them, growing up in that town, of course, this was family that we would frequently go and visit with. As we were in Uniontown, it was, you know, an easy trip over to Washington, PA, and...
you maintained those relationships?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, we try to stay pretty close together. In fact, a month ago, the Bar Association had the Family Law Section of the Bar Association had a reception for me because I had reached the age of retirement. Sherman Sigel came, Stephen Richmond came, so it was nice that they were there, and my cousin Arnold Wilner. So I have to explain to you, Arnold, who was a practicing lawyer here in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure you know him and his family. He was my mother's first cousin, because Jacob Wilner, her father, was a brother to his father. Mm-hmm. And of course, he grew up in Sharpsburg, and they had a shoe store there, and he and his brother Al became fairly prominent practicing lawyers, and Arnold's still with us. And he happily was at the reception also, so I had all the patriarchs were there, so they're, because the family itself is not really that big on my side. I had a brother, David. He unfortunately passed away at a relatively young age.
Was he younger than you?
Oh, yeah, he was 6.5 years younger than I. And he died in 1972, did I say 72? Yeah, that might have been about right. He had a son who was, I guess, 6 years old, and we've stayed very close with him, my nephew. He's now a physician, a urologist, about to become board certified because he hasn't been out that long. But he's serving some compulsory time with the Air Force because they sent him to medical school. But he's outside of Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we've visited with him. And we have a little family tradition of getting everyone together on Thanksgiving Day in Pittsburgh. And so he and his mother always come to Pittsburgh at that time of year. And now he has his little boy, too, and his wife. And we've stuck very close together. So I have...
I find it so interesting that both sides came to Pennsylvania.
Right. And
is there something here that, in terms of either their work or their relatives or something, that brought them?
I've never been able to determine that. The Wilners, obviously, as I said, our Arnold's family was in the shoe business. My grandfather in Washington, PA, was sold shoes also as part of his men's working store. He was a real character, though. He really was a distinguished-looking gentleman, and he would always tell people when he would be out that he was Senator Wilner, you know, and he looked like he was, you know, he had these pince-nez glasses, you know, and so forth, and of course he didn't speak with an accent or anything because he came over here when he was really quite young, so that's what that side of the family was. The Kaplan side, on the other hand, I knew my grandfather was a watchmaker.
He must have been very young when he came up. He stayed with a family.
I guess.
Like you said.
Yeah.
In effect, adopted.
Right. Right. Yeah, but you take my father's siblings. Another, he was the second youngest. And one of the brothers became a merchant in Irwin, Pennsylvania. Men's clothing. Another older brother became a dentist before him, so probably they went to Pitt.
Right.
So that's probably how that ended up happening. His sisters, one of the sisters married a man by the name of Salabus. They settled in Williamsport. And that's still Pennsylvania. Youngest was Martin. We always call him Uncle Mats, kind of used his Yiddish name. And he had gotten married, divorced relatively young. His one child, who is my age, and who was a cousin that I knew was out there somewhere. We just rediscovered each other around 10 years ago. So yeah, he lives up in Wilkes-Barre. It's a different name. His mother remarried and so forth. That's the Kaplan side there. But some of those Kaplan children, my father's mother, I think there was only one brother, Abraham Kaplan. Among his children were Frank R.S. Kaplan, who ultimately, of course, was a prominent lawyer and got involved with Copperweld Steel. And his son was Irving M.J. Kaplan. So it's like a first cousin or second cousin. Also among the cousins there were two sisters, my grandmother's two sisters. Both of whom married Wexlers here in Pittsburgh, Dr. Lawrence Wexler and other. So those are relatives. And every once in a while we say we're really going to go in and trace this family tree, and we really have never done it. And
interesting to make a tree because you remember so many of the members of
right.
the family. Most people. Don't know.
Yeah, well, these are all Western Pennsylvanians, and a lot of them are still here. I mean,
did you know your grandparents?
I never knew my grandfather. He died, I think, when I was very young. My grandmother, I did know,
Kaplan,
and on my and my maternal grandparents, I knew very well.
You did?
Oh yes.
You were.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Very well. In fact. Little cute aside, when my wife and I got married, my wife Natalie and I got married in 1952, we honeymooned in Miami Beach, and my grandfather, his wife had died, Rebecca had died, and he met this lovely lady, because he was down in Florida too, and they had just gotten married too.
Oh, no.
So I remember it was like Thanksgiving. It was we'd gotten married the weekend preceding Thanksgiving. Because I was in law school then, and I was a senior in law school, and we figured by combining it with the Thanksgiving vacation, we could take a few days off of law school. We got married like on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So on Thanksgiving, I remember we went out for dinner together with my grandfather and his new bride, and even at the hotel where we were staying, they had what they called the honeymoon club, and I remember taking movies, and I still have these movies, with this big heart. And I had my grandfather and his wife and Natalie and myself in the picture together. And
I was going to ask you, did you take any pictures?
Yeah.
What a picture. Right.
And so we do have that picture. And in fact, we have it on tape. And we've since, thanks to the artistry of Nate Shear, we've transferred it from movies to video so that we're able to.
Grandchildren will look back.
Yeah. Well, maybe they will. Who knows?
Love to know where
yeah,
it came
yeah,
from, who was
yeah. My grandmother died earlier. I guess she died from cancer, and but I have great memories of that because you know you go up and visit grandma's house and the cooking and the, you know, all of the stuff for the holiday. Going to shul with your grandpa and yeah, things.
For your graduation.
No, my grandmother was not living there. My grandfather was not here at that time. I don't know whether he was down in Florida then or.
But what's your dad? Do you know the Uniontown?
That's a good question. Since he was a dentist, while he was in dental school and not. And then immediately thereafter, he and my mother had met each other somehow or another. She, of course, was from Washington, PA, and he was from McKeesport. And I don't know all the details of their courtship. I guess we never talked about that very much. But I know that when they got married, maybe it was right before they got married, since mother was in Washington, he actually went and he opened up a dental practice in conjunction with another Jewish dentist in Harry Cohen, I think it was, in Washington. And I think after they got married, the newlyweds continued out Route 40 and went to Brownsville.
Oh, yes. That
okay.
Active Jewish community.
Active Jewish community, right. Mm-hmm. And they... He set up his practice there for a while. And then he wasn't there too long when he realized the real shtetl was further up in Uniontown, which was the county seat of Fayette County. And that's where they went. They got married in 1926, and I was born in Uniontown Hospital in 1928. And so I grew up in Uniontown.
Did you have any other siblings besides your brother?
Just my brother, David, right. Yeah.
When he died, he was
in his early 30s, I guess. So
his parents still did?
My dad wasn't. My dad had already died. My dad died I'd come back from the army in 1956, and he died in 1957. Yeah.
How about your mother?
And my mother died in 1990.
Oh, so
she remarried. Let me tell you, yeah, actually she remarried Perry Cooper, whose family was all from Uniontown, although she met Perry after his wife died. His wife died in an automobile accident, and they were married for almost 25 years. And believe it or not, not too long, I don't know, somehow or another they just decided that they really couldn't live together anymore and they got a divorce.
Really?
After 25, yeah. Mm-hmm.
were your parents married?
Well, my dad died relatively young also, but they were married, let's see, they got married, in, as I said, in 26, and my dad died in 57, yeah, mm-hmm. 57.
So they were together, and then she got married for 26 years.
Yeah, then, yeah, yeah. She moved to Washington, PA, and Aunt Perry had... I guess always had known mother. They were friends. They were family friends because I told you we used to go up to Williamsport where one aunt lived, and plus the Coopers, his brothers and sisters were all from Uniontown, and in fact after the war when World War II, we had joined my dad in the service, which I guess we'll get to eventually, but when I came back to, we came back to Uniontown, I missed my sophomore and junior years, or my freshman and sophomore years of high school, and in 1943 and 44, and we came back, we actually rented from Perry's father, who's a realtor and owned some property, and we actually had an apartment there until we were able to get our own place again, which we had sold when my dad went into the service, because he was in the reserve.
Your dad was in World War II.
Yeah, he was in the reserve, mm-hmm. as a dentist, and he was one of these diligent guys. During the 30s, he'd go off to military camp and training in the summer, and
he had been in the reserve for a long time.
Oh yeah, long time. So when Pearl Harbor came along, they wanted to call him up, and then they decided that he had varicose veins or something like that. In those days, they were particular, whether you should get into it or not. Later on, they weren't so particular. But my dad, the patriot, when he found out he couldn't get into they weren't going to call him up because of his varicose veins. I remember he came to Pittsburgh. I remember he's getting operated on, had his veins ligated at Mercy Hospital by this then Dr. Barone or whoever it was, some guy who was the pro at this kind of stuff, and he got all better. So then this time when they called him, he went. So he was in, and he never went overseas, though. They had him on limited duty. He was in Texas. And so we went and lived with him for 2 years. We lived in Austin, Texas. And
he lived off the base.
He lived off the base. It was 30 miles off. He was at a Camp Swift, which became Fort Swift, and he was like one of the first Jews on the base, so he had the obligation of trying to organize the Jewish service people together at that time until they could get a Jewish chaplain, whom, of course, he befriended. And in fact, he was even got the Uniontown Club going at Camp Swift, which eventually became the Pennsylvania Club.
Really?
Yeah. So...
You mean while he was in
the army there in Texas? Yeah, he was a real involved. I didn't really involved in the Jewish community. He was active with B'nai B'rith and the Zionist organization, and he belonged to service clubs and things like that.
Uniontown had a lot of Jews.
Yeah, they must have had around 400 families.
They did.
Yeah, enough to support two congregations. I was brought up Reform, mm-hmm. Temple Israel in Uniontown, and then the other synagogue was pretty Orthodox, but it became more conservative, and that was Tree of Life in Uniontown, and it's still there.
It is.
Temple Israel just recently, within the past couple of years, sold their building, mm-hmm. and there was a Jewish community center that they were able to form in the town also. You know, they drew from Masontown and from Connellsville and from Brownsville. But it was a very small congregation by then. Yeah. And I remember going back and being their speaker at their annual meeting.
After you had your law degree?
Yeah, after I was a judge, you know. I mean, as a lawyer, they're not going to bite me. Judges, I guess that's impressive.
Yeah. So
we went, and there were like 45 people left in the congregation. So, and they had a rabbi who was sort of a part-time rabbi and who really worked, he was the head of the Fayette County Mental Health, Mental Retardation Unit, Rabbi David. And he's still there, and he does services, I think, every other week or something like that on a Friday night. And so that small congregation, and they never merged. They never merged with the other congregation.
They did. Yeah. Even though the other ones start to go out.
Yeah, right. And they never merged. I'm not sure what all of the...
Was the Jewish community there close to
you? I would say it was pretty close. My dad belonged to both congregations.
Oh.
So I know when we'd be through with our reform services on the high holidays, I'd always have to go over to the synagogue. My dad was always, he was brought up Orthodox, of course.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah, so, but you know, he was very active in the reform congregation, and he, as was my mother, with Sisterhood and the Council of Jewish Women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a
Council? Well, wait a second. No, I take that back. I think it was Hadassah. Hadassah was the other women's,
yes.
Jewish women's group. And
did she ever work for mom?
Mother never worked, no. She was a housewife, or as we are prone to say, a homemaker.
Oh,
and she was active volunteer. She was in the Red Cross Motor Corps, I know, and she did, especially when things broke out, she used to... And the war broke out. I know she was active with that. She did a lot of work for the blind. And she'd do some translating into Braille. She would do readings.
Did she have anybody that she knew that so that she felt she wanted to work with?
No. I'm not aware of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even in her older age, when she came to Washington, PA, after my dad died, she decided she... took up a project. She didn't think it was right, since she was an older person herself at this point, and was dependent on public transportation. She thought it was terrible that when you were at a bus stop, you couldn't sit down somewhere and wait for the bus. And she got this project going to get the merchants of the town, and she went around and solicited them all herself to give, to put benches in on the corner. She worked with a mayor, who was a female, I think, and she actually got benches put in the mostly, I guess, in the downtown area, where people could sit and wait for the bus at the bus stop.
Wasn't that
interesting? Yeah, that was interesting.
She was a community person.
Yeah, also.
Before she remarried.
No, this was after she was divorced, in fact. Yeah.
Do you have contact with his family?
Yeah, uh-huh. Actually... just to show you what a small Jewish world it is,
yeah.
When I was in college, I dated his daughter from Williamsport. In fact, I was at the University of Pennsylvania and had her come in for the prom, you know,
yeah.
And so forth. Yeah, Cynthia and I were real good friends. And and she ended up marrying someone by the name of Kaplan. How's that? For a small world.
Sure,
it lives in Chicago. Yeah, no relation. But it was Kaplan with a K.
Uh-huh.
So just a real... A real small Jewish world.
How long was your dad actually in the service?
I'd say 3 years, maybe. From 1942 to 1945.
And then did he remain in the reserves?
He might have. I know that we lived down in Austin. We actually, it was a very pleasant time. The truth be known, it was during the war, and we were always, you know, glued to the radio and listening to the latest reports and so forth. And there was rationing going on, but because he was in the military, he was able to, you know, get some gasoline so he could commute back and forth. Right. We could go shopping at the commissary. You could get some things there that you couldn't get too much of, but you know, you had coupons for everything, for sugar and for shoes and canned goods. There were the blue points and the red points, you remember? The red points for meat, the blue points for the canned goods. And
now, when he left the service, did you all go back to Uniontown?
Yeah, actually, we went back a little before. We knew the war was going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew how, but the tide, and they wanted me to be able to start in school in the fall, And so we went back, and the three of us, we took a apartment in one of the downtown office buildings. Actually, they had converted to some apartments at that time. Didn't have a car, didn't have a refrigerator. I remember we lived in the apartment because you know, there were no such, you couldn't get refrigerator. We had an ice box. We literally had an ice box. I mean,
that's interesting. That was late for ice box.
Yeah, it was. But that's